that we're going to have, is PK also going to have a Yahoo address in order to use this?
Well, I think the problem is having a Gmail address. I think Gmail is probably doing something with Yahoo or Yahoo with Gmail, and I think that's the problem. One other person did solve that problem by getting a Yahoo address. That would be probably the easiest thing, but I don't know if it's necessarily just a Yahoo address, just something that, you know, isn't going to get into a fight with Yahoo or block Yahoo. But if you have a Yahoo address and open, yeah, try that. That should work out.
Okay. I'll send you that email, that address.
And I'll invite you, yes.
Yeah, and we'll see how that goes.
And
if that works,
PK
then
should as well, yes.
I have to ask PK to do that.
This is Ken. This is Ken, if I could. I don't seem to have received an email from you, Joe. Could you, maybe R. Paul could forward those motions to you.
Okay, R. Paul, do you have the motions that Ken Aaron sent? And could you send them to my Gmail account now? Is Tom and name's right here.
Nita.
I'm still on.
Tom's here too.
Do you have any questions about what you've heard so far from the budget reports from the station? Things that you think you should be hearing, perhaps.
I don't have any questions. I'm actually have taken a lot of notes about what I heard. It's probably some questions from that I probably would like to send to Tom, quite frankly. But
yeah.
Okay.
But
however you want to handle it, I just want to make sure you have the opportunity if you wish to mention anything now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I would say is I'm just really glad to be here. It's an interesting and different perspective. So I'm glad to be here.
This is Ken. If you want, I can read these motions.
Go ahead and start with the first, then go ahead and read it.
Okay, the first one is sounds a little complex, but it's about calculating a central services fee. And what it is, it's a recalculation of central services fees, whereas current Pacifica policy requires the calculation of a five-month average revenue. I'm calling that FMAR, to be used for determining central service payments required from each station. And whereas the FMAR hasn't been calculated in over a year, therefore be it resolved that the national office, on the direction of the CFO, will calculate the five-month average revenue for each station on a quarterly basis using the first 5 months' total revenue beginning 6 months prior to the beginning of the new upcoming fiscal quarter. So for the second quarter, use the first five months of the previous two quarters, and these results will be used by the national office in determining the required central service payments from each station and will be posted on Pacifica.org for public disclosure. That's the motion. Just that the national office will calculate this on a quarterly basis and post it on Pacifica.org.
All right, thank you, Ken. Let me ask Tom Livingston a question. Since you are most familiar with our current situation with the new loans that we've taken out, are we planning on trying to somehow incorporate repayment into central services fee? Is this going to be something separate? Do you have any information on how the stations are going to be contributing to repaying the loan and if that's going to have anything to do with central services?
I don't. We haven't had that conversation. In the manager's meeting, we talk about what you were talking about you know, the central services idea is a really good one, that it's based on a station's ability to pay. If a percentage of the station monthly budget, but we have not had that conversation yet. It still needs to happen.
All right, thank you.
Ken, to the stack on that, I just have a lingering question.
Ken, go ahead.
This is for Tom. In the loan, there was, you know, we're not administering a loan, and I know that's like closed session stuff, but the key question is, has any part of the loan been prepaid so that we have a period, an extended period where we can take a breath? Or is the next, are we going to have to start making payments on that loan approximately, whether it's $20,000 or $30,000 a month or whatever it is? Are we going to have to start making that payment in August or September?
No, so the terms of the loan are that, and this was funded out of the sale of the Nakupon building, is an 18-month reserve account has been established to pay for the interest payments for the first 18 months. We're about 3 months into that. So towards the end of next year, we will need to start making the monthly payments. And I've seen the interest amounts, and it's around $20,000 a month.
Okay. And I just wanted to add one comment on that, because it's probably a loan pegged to the prime rate or something like that, some federal rate, which I think they're starting to raise. So we want to keep our eye on that, because the payments may go up. But anyhow, it's good to know that we have an 18-month grace period, in essence.
Okay. Ken has had a chance to read his motion. Do you have some specific motivation you'd like to start with, and then we could have some debate? Ken?
No, this is just administrative bureaucracy. We're just asking the national office to calculate the five-month average revenue on a quarterly basis, and and post it on Pacifica, so that it's reflective of the current status of the stations, and it's not just pegged at the first time it was done. It was over a year ago.
Okay,
Mansoor has a question regarding that.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say, I still haven't received it, so I don't really have a question. Mansoor, if you had anyone else who's had a chance to read over it, please, now's a good time. I will benefit from your questions, so thank you. Please, Mansoor, go ahead. And R. Paul,
yeah.
After Mansoor.
I haven't read the documents, the motions, but I'm just wondering, what's the purpose of doing this, number one? Number two, what's the purpose of doing something very odd, not a quarterly, not a biannual, but every 5 months? It just doesn't make sense from a business perspective. Thank you.
Can I respond to that?
Ken, go ahead and respond.
Okay, it should be done. I'm requesting it be done on a quarterly basis. The idea is so you have some predictability. The station knows it's going to pay X each month. They don't have to base it on the previous month or the current month. They know we took an average of the last two quarters, okay? And to give it a break, we don't even count the last month of the last two quarters. So we take a five-month average starting two quarters back. Each quarter is, well, not even, just take a five-month average of the previous quarter. So however that is, five-month average starting from the previous quarter. It's just a way to go back in time. This is where you start.
All right, thank you, Ken.
It's only done on a quarterly basis. And the idea is to get predictability. You don't want to have your central services going up and down and up and down and based on a calculation, and you're not even sure because you haven't had a chance to get fulfillment of your income. So the number would actually fluctuate on a daily basis because your fulfillment is going to change. So instead of that, just look at our history, our recent history, just behind, you know, a quarter behind, and say, let me take an average of the previous quarter and come up with a number for this quarter. And why it's 5 months instead of 6 months? 5 months is what had been set in an earlier policy. And that's, I'm just not arguing that. There must be some reason that they wanted a 5 month average revenue. So I'm not arguing that. But it's just say, do it on a quarterly basis using the previous quarter.
Okay, that's clear. R. Paul, go ahead.
I'm not aware of the 5 month average revenue policy. Do you have that somewhere? When did it happen?
Go ahead, and if you want to respond, Ken.
I have no response for that. I don't have the policy. I'm just I don't remember where I got that from. But that's what we were using. Like WBAI has a request for a fixed amount every month. That was calculated some period of time. And some point in time, the CFO or the national office came up and said, the station pays this much, and so forth. Each station has got a set amount that they pay on central services. It doesn't fluctuate. And it should fluctuate and be changed every quarter. So I don't know why it's a five-month average as opposed to a three-month average or an eight-month average. I don't know what the source of that was. And if you wanted to make an amendment, say, five is an unlucky number, let's make it 6 months.
Let me continue, please. All right. The way we've been doing it is that we've hashed it out. Most years, hashing it out in the NFC ahead of time, and figured out our own way what the central services ought to be by seeing what the stations would be, and then we reversed it to see what does the national office want. Need, and then divvying that up among the stations, and that's how we figured it out. So I don't know about the five-month average revenue thing. The other thing is that it says, on a quarterly basis, using the first 5 months of total revenue, beginning 6 months prior to the upcoming fiscal quarter. This is very difficult to understand here. 5 months total revenue, 6 months, you know, what is the first 5 months? First of what? And what is the beginning 6 months prior to, you know, the upcoming quarter? This is not making a lot of sense to me. It just doesn't, I think maybe this needs more work is what it needs, including the idea that there is a mandated 5 months average from somewhere. So I think this needs to be worked on a bit more, and that's what I have to say.
Thank you, R. Paul. Is there anybody else that would like to comment?
Yeah, William.
William, go ahead.
Yeah, I was not on the NFC, actually. This is my first year, but I agree with R. Paul. I just wanted to add that, so everybody might understand a little bit more, that it was a fixed amount every month for the year. Is my understanding anyway. There was no recalculation during the year. It was the same amount every month for the upcoming year. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Anyone else that wants to speak? Okay, let me add one comment. One thing that concerns me is, especially when we're trying to get a new CFO at some point and the staffing levels are in the national office, these things ostensibly should be fixed, and we certainly can't change based on the last 6 months how much money we're going to be paying the staff in the central office. So I'm puzzled by how that would work. So therefore, I think kind of what R. Paul said about we have to know what the national office expenses are, and then the calculations need to be fixed so that we make sure that the national office is properly budgeted. So that'd be my concern. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this?
This is Ken. Just one last statement on that.
Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I concur. You know, it does sound complicated, and it should be simplified. The other issue is I thought that the central service percentage is in the bylaws, and it was in a policy. It's basically 20% of gross income, and except 19% for KPFK because they have the added expense of housing the Pacifica archive, so they got a benefit on that. So that if the policy is that it was supposed to be 20%, and we could change that, but I don't want to get into being in conflict with the bylaws. So I'm just saying it would be better, rather than doing a schmooze of like, well, we need more money this month or this quarter, just having a formula to calculate it. However, let's vote on it. I'm not opposed to that. I'm just saying it should be addressed. It hasn't been recalculated in a year. And it's why is it what it is now?
All right. Thank you.
Mansoor would like to make a comment.
So Mansoor, then Arpal.
What I would like to down the road from Nita is to give us a sense of what is the budget for the national office, and then we just divide it up to the five radio stations, whether equally or unequally, and that's the end of it. We don't need to do any of these calculations. Thank you.
Thank you, Arpal.
If I could comment.
Okay, go ahead, Anita. Let me give you, and then after you, it'll be Arpal and then PK.
I actually made myself a note. I will investigate that since we'll be there next week. And then what I could do is report to you on the next call of what that budget is and how it's currently being calculated.
Okay. In light of that, I'd like to postpone this motion.
Okay. Let's keep that in mind. Go to Arpal.
Yeah. Okay. I see what's going on here. The quotation about 20% is off on a couple of different things. One, it was 17% for the national office and 2.5% for PRA. However, that formula got scrapped like 3 or 4 years ago, and so we've changed it twice, and somebody's doing something on here, making a lot of noise. I can hardly hear myself. We changed it twice, and one was to see what the stations could do, and then that got reversed to the most recent thing of what does the national office need and cut it up that way. So this motion has some problems, and all right, and there's that. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, before PK, I just want to say any and all of you who have any knowledge about what the procedures have been in the past or that you know of, please email that to the executive director so that he can pass this on to Anita so she'll just have as much information as possible to start the investigation with. PK, go ahead.
I was just going to say, not knowing how it was done in the past, and I think that that is one of the things that I find most troubling in what I do now, and that is that we don't know what the process was before. Actually, there was no process. And I think creating something totally new, I think we should table it and work with, is it Anita? I don't want to just
talk.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have an Anita, but we call her Nita. Anyway, the thing is that let's give it to the professionals, and I'm not saying that anybody doesn't have experience, but let's give it to the professionals and table this motion and get a fix on how we're going to all work together, because I really want to work with Anita and Markeisha to find a balance to understanding the numbers, bottom line, dollars and cents, making a push for the SENSC portion of what it does. So I'd like to give this to Anita to work out, and then we come back and address it later.
All right, thank you. Therefore, I'm proposing that we postpone this until the August 14th meeting, at which point Anita can participate in the conversation. Are there any objections to this?
Well, Mr. Chair, didn't the previous speaker just move to table?
Yeah, he mentioned, well, not table, we're postponing, because table would be sometime in this meeting.
All right, so you're making a motion. Oh, crap. I'm tangled up in cables here. Okay, so you want to postpone this.
Finance committee meeting.
All right. Till next meeting. Okay.
I just don't think tabling is the procedure.
Okay, so it's a motion to postpone next meeting. We should see if anybody objects. Okay.
Hearing no objections, it will be postponed until next meeting. Ken, would you like to go to your next motion?
Yeah, this is less complex, but probably controversial. Okay, this is recording all transactions. Oh, by the way, did you get the emails from Paul? No, okay, I'm going to read it. Recording of all transactions. The NFC recommends that the PNB adopt policy requiring that all transactions between national office and any business unit be properly recorded and credited or debited to the appropriate account for that business unit. Such transactions include transfer of funds for payment of payroll, insurance, and central services obligations. The national office must also include any funds requisitioned by the national office to cover an emergency obligation, such as a legal judgment or past due insurance policy. Unless otherwise exempted, any such funds requisitioned must be credited to that business unit's central services obligation. Such exemptions include special fund drives for the network-wide projects or the Pacifica archives. If funds were requisitioned by the national office for an emergency payment of a deficiency at another business unit, such as covering expenses for payroll, pension, or local insurance, in these cases, the funds will not be credited to central service obligations of the contributing business unit, but the national office will be charged with maintaining proper accounting of the transaction and ensuring eventual repayment. In a similar fashion, a national office will maintain proper accounting of any and all assets contributed from a business unit for use by the national office or another business unit, and the national office will monitor agreements made about the use and disposition of said assets. This policy shall be implemented for transaction having occurred on or after January 1st, 2018. Now, let me just motivate this because I think it's healthy to try to write the motions as legally or precisely as possible. But basically, at our station and other stations, from time to time in the past, the CFO has said, I'm pulling my hair out. I need $50,000. I got to get this settlement off our back or we're going to be out of business. So the CFO would correctly say, who's got money, and take it out of that bank account. However, the CFO in the past has actually not credited that station with making a payment to the national office. And then the station is saying, what is this? I got like a runaway landlord. He just comes in and says, you got to give me another $50,000. So this is, to a degree, it's a violation of a contract between the national office and the station. And I think it creates resentment and concern. I know at our station it did, and I think it was for an amount of $80,000. But historically, this has happened at different times for different business units. So it is a network. National office owns and controls everything, so they could take things anytime they want. However, it should be documented. And if the basic contract is the financial support of the national office via a central service payment, if the national office determines that it needs that advance payment right now, they can get it, but it should be credited to that station's central service payments. And if pay down what they have a backlog on or get credit for the future or whatever. So I think that that should be done. But that doesn't apply to when we have network-wide fund drives like we have in the past. We had a network fund drive to get funds to facilitate getting the audit done for 2014 and 15. Good. That money is that money. It doesn't, you know, it just goes right there. It doesn't cover anybody's central services. However, in other cases, it should. And so there's that. And then the other thing is there are times when a station will supply a premium from that they have and sitting in the closet, and some other station can use that premium. And so there's a transfer of that asset from one station to another. Or a station, again, funds are taken from a station to emergency cover payroll. It's a very significant illegality to fail to pay some staff. So therefore, the national office will just grab some money from station A to pay station B. Pay Rob Peter to pay Paul is the phrase. Okay, but the station, the national office should be obligated to keep track of that transaction and make sure that it's recorded and monitored and that the funds are at some point in the future theoretically or actually repaid. So that's the thing. And the same thing happens with transmitters or microphones or premiums and things, certain assets. And it could happen, you know, in the future with other assets. I don't know. It seems to me that would be the normal business practices, not just to go like, well, you know, Tuesday I took some money, forget about it. I've decided it's not central services. I think this should be made understood and agreed upon and not be done arbitrarily. That's my motivation for this.
All right. Thank you, Ken. All right. Who would like to speak to this?
Chris Corey.
I heard R. Paul and Chris Corey. R. Paul, go ahead.
Okay. One second. Okay. Whoops. I'm running some things on cables here to try and get online, so it's a little crazy. Yeah, there are some parts of this that don't look so hot. There is currently, I am told by WBAI management, an issue of one particular station not being credited for chipping in something like $100,000 or more dollars to something. And because it was also, there was also some pitching going on at the time, this sounds like it would say, oh, you don't get any credit for that. And the general manager of WBAI says BAI is in dispute with some other entities within Pacifica. God, I wish somebody would mute their phone instead of crapping, you know, knocking stuff against their speaker there. I can hardly hear myself. Anyway, there's a dispute, the general manager says, where BAI thinks it should be credited for about $100,000 or more dollars for things like the audit, some other things. And others say, oh, no, that was just like a call-in, as if a caller suddenly called in $100,000 and contributed because it was a fundraiser going on, which, you know, seems bizarre. So in its current form, I really can't support this. But maybe what we could do is I don't know what that is. Maybe what we can do is I could make an amendment here, and I would move to amend the motion by leaving the first paragraph. The NFC recommends that the PNB adopt a policy requiring that all transactions between the national office and any business unit be properly recorded and credited / debited to the appropriate amount for that business unit, and cut all after that until we get to the final paragraph, which says
This policy shall be implemented for all transactions having occurred on or after January 1st, 2018. And I agree with all of this stuff should be recorded, and I just don't agree with some of the other provisions that are in there. So that's my amendment to strike that bit.
All right. Thank you, R. Paul. So now we have an amendment to the motion. And so I have a new stack. I have Chris Corey. You were to speak to the original motion, or if you wish to go ahead and speak to the amendment, it's okay with me. So I'll let you call out.
Mentor would like to speak on this as well.
I think it would apply to either, so it doesn't really matter.
Why don't you go ahead then, Chris, and then Mansoor.
Okay. So I'm just wondering, just using a specific example, how would, say, the sale of the Nakapon property apply to this motion? Would it not apply? I'm interested in an answer from Ken. Would it not apply? And if so, why would it not apply?
Okay, Ken, can you give a brief answer to that, and then we'll move on to Mansoor.
I would say it could apply because the only thing I would check on that is the history of the acquisition of the property. Was it something that came from the efforts of, does KPFK have proper vested interest in the ownership of the property or not? Because you're right, the Nakapon building was sold. All the other real estate was burdened by the loan, but the Nakapon building was sold in a separate transaction, and it was, separated. So everybody else has been, all the other existing property was used. So I would say there's a good case for that if KPFA can demonstrate, we had the property was donated to us from somebody who really loved what we broadcast, and it was in the early days. Maybe it was before we acquired some of the other stations and so forth. That's a historical consideration. But something like that, yes, because I can understand, personally, that's why I wrote this, I can understand where a station takes ownership of what it has as assets, and it feels pride in that, and it contributes to its existence. And so if the national office just comes in and says, oh, we got to sell your house, goodbye, shut up, go away, leave me alone, we sold it, it's not your business. So that's right. It should at least potentially, I think there's a good argument for saying that should apply against our central services obligations.
All right. Thank you, Ken.
That's just my viewpoint.
Okay. No, I get it. Thank you. That was my viewpoint as well. I'm just checking.
Mansoor.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. To the best of my abilities and what I understand, first and foremost, I'm here to represent the network and not just KPFK. And based on that logic and approach to the business, it is okay for a business to transaction money from one of its locations to next to for whatever necessary it's deemed to do. And that's not required to be given credit. AKA, if KPFK is giving $50,000 to KPFA, arbitrarily names and numbers, to do arbitrarily X item, it's not necessary for me to come and say hooray to KPFK and boo-boo to KPFA to do these things. I think this is just normal business practices. However, I think the core of the issue here has to do with when is a designated amount of money for a designated item. Let's say KPFK wanted to build a audio recording studio, and we were granted X dollars to do that. And the national office came and took that money to pay for X bill that we had. That, it's a no-no. That's already in the books. You cannot do this. You're breaking the bylaws of Pacifica and the contract that the person who has given money to this station to deal with this. So honestly, I just think this is overburdening what we need to do. If we need to make sure our employees get paid in New York, we're going to have to make sure it happens. And it doesn't matter where it comes from. But if the money is designated to an item specifically, that's a totally different subject matter, and it's not pertinent to this topic. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mansoor. I'd like to comment on this. I support Art Paul's amendment for the following two reasons. One, central services, the idea that somehow it might credit or debit from central services, that is supposed to be the money that runs the central office. And whether there's some other emergency for the need to transfer funds somehow in the Pacifica network shouldn't affect how we pay the people and do our central services operations. So it would be inappropriate for it to anyway affect central services at all. Secondly, the foundation, everything, all the property is owned by Pacifica. There is no KPFT. There is everything is owned by Pacifica. We have assets that are at the Liberty, and I think it's unproductive for us to look at the foundation as a bully coming in seizing assets. The assets are the foundation's in the first place, and what we expect the PNB to do and the administration to do is properly run. I think I agree with the importance of the idea that I think there has been sloppy accounting in the past that someone might remove, and I think it's absolutely imperative that we track any transfers because we have to understand the performance of each unit. Because if money is transferred out of, let's say, KPFA's budget, that doesn't mean they didn't make it and they didn't have good performance for having made that money. And therefore, it's vital that the records for all such transactions be kept and available and made clear when the budgeting process. And to finally, what Mansoor said, when we look at what each station is undertaking, that's what the budgeting process is for. We're making sure that each unit can properly operate and perform its goals and its mission for the Pacifica as a whole. And they need to stay in budget. They want to upgrade a room for their sound system. Then that's in that year's budget. That's how we provide for those things. So, all right, that's my comment. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this?
I was just going to add, if I may, that one way of accounting for it is through intercompany transactions where, you know, I'm not sure that you'd call it a credit, but it's a tracking mechanism in order to show from the financial statement, like a balance sheet, where the money came from and where it went back out. So I guess that would be a credit, if you will.
Thank you, Anita. All right.
Can I add one more thing? This is Chris Corey again.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
There is kind of a perspective out there that I think Ken's motion addresses, and that's I incidentally I completely agree with you about how businesses function. There are sections of businesses that are sometimes termed loss leaders. You know, that it's a product that's not really functioning but has market share and is therefore valuable to the company just for getting shelf space, for getting in front of customers. I'm not sure that media actually qualifies in this particular sense, but I will say that there are certain divisions of that are underperforming and certain divisions of Pacifica that are performing reasonably well. And there is this tendency over time, particularly, for the well-performing aspects of Pacifica to have to yield assets, personnel, goods, any number of things, assets to the underperforming units. And this deprives the performing units of the oxygen that they need to continue performing. Is this a healthy thing for Pacifica as a whole? I can't really say. It depends on how the underperforming units respond to that addition of asset or revenue. I'm just speaking to the fact that it's pretty easy for an underperforming unit to say, sure, you know, let's make KPFK the sacrificial lamb for stuff that is going wrong at my station, and then take whatever assets are necessary in order to make that happen. So I'm just saying that there is certainly something to be looked at here and something to be valued in this, but it is troublesome from an overall business perspective. So I see both sides of this particular one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. All right. I think considering we're down to 922.
Ken to the stack.
Well, we're down to 8 minutes. Do we want more debate, or we want to try to go ahead and vote on the amendment and the motion?
I just want to make a statement about the amendment.
Okay, please, quickly.
Ken, I would endorse the amendment because this is a group, and this seems to me that the consensus here is that the first paragraph and the last paragraph are acceptable, but there's argumentation about the ownership of property and the rights of the national office. But I think there's concurrence. So I think if we approve that amendment, the motion will pass, and that's going to move us forward. And with just those first two paragraphs, those two paragraphs won't prevent further policy from stipulating something else.
I hear some noise. Is that somebody just unmuted or someone who wants to speak? Okay, I don't hear anyone who wants to speak. Okay, then I'd like to call a question on the amendment from R. Paul. Are there any objections to R. Paul's amendment to Ken's original motion?
Yes, I object. This is
Chris. All right, then I'll call the roll.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Would it be okay if I called the roll so I can keep track?
Okay, sure.
All right. The amendment would make the motion read to strike the NFC recommends that the PNB adopt policy requiring requiring that all transactions between a national office and a business unit be properly recorded and credited/debited to the appropriate account for that business unit. This policy shall be implemented for all transactions having occurred on or after January 1st, 2018. Okay. Ken Aaron.
Pass.
Nick Arena. Okay, moving on. Chris Corey?
Opposed.
Joseph Davis?
You need to come back to me for the final.
William Herwagen? Hearing nothing. Tony Leon?
Pass.
R. Paul Martin? Yes. P.K. McCary?
Opposed.
Was that opposed? I think I heard her say opposed. Okay, I'm sorry. Mansoor Sabah.
Pass.
Okay, well, pass.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I changed my mind. No, I'm sorry. I opposed to that. Thank you.
You're opposed. All right. Going back, Ken Aaron.
Opposed.
Nick Arena. Joseph Davis.
Whenever you get the vote, that's when I'll decide whether to abstain or vote, says the chair.
Okay. The voting, this is a committee, so the chair. Chair gets to vote, and these roll calls have to be in alphabetical order.
All right, I'll abstain.
Sorry. Abstain. William Herwagen.
Abstain.
Tony Leon.
Abstain.
Okay. Nicarina? Not voting. 1-4, 4 against, 3 abstentions.
Let's go to the motion.
I'd like to say something about the motion.
We are done with that. We're taking a vote. I'm sorry.
No, we've voted on the amendment, not the motion.
That's correct. Make it quick. We're running close on time.
It will be quick. I just find it interesting that people spoke for the amendment and then voted against it. That's all. And that's why the middle should have been cut out. But okay.
All right, we'll go. Are there any objections to taking the vote on the main amendment? Main motion, sorry.
Nope.
Okay, R. Paul, go ahead.
Wow. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, do we want the whole main motion reread, or do you want to just vote?
No, let's just vote.
Go ahead and vote.
I think people just want to vote. If anybody objects to that, start shouting. All right, Ken Aaron.
I vote yes.
Nick Arena. Chris Corey.
Yes.
Joseph Davis.
No.
William Heerwagen.
No.
Tony Leon.
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin. No. P.K. McCary.
No.
Mansoor Sabah.
No.
Okay, going back to Nick Arena. I think he's off the call. All right, the vote is 2-4, 5 against, 1 abstention.
Okay, the motion fails. And it is now 9:29 or 10:29 on the East Coast, which means we are out of time, unless someone wants to extend time.
I move to extend my last motion. Is very brief. 10 minutes.
Is there a second? Or
I second that. Mansoor seconds that.
Any objections?
Object.
All right, call a vote. I'm going to require 2/3, by the way.
Hey. Ouch. People can hear. Okay, I think people can hear me. All right, the motion is to extend for 10 minutes. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Nick Arena. Chris Corey.
No.
Joseph Davis. Joseph Davis?
No.
William Heerwagen.
No.
Tony Leon?
No.
R. Paul Martin? No. P.K. McCary?
No.
Mansoor Sabah?
Yes.
Okay, Nick Arena? No reply. 2-4, 6 against, 0 abstentions.
All right, that does not succeed. Sorry, Ken. We'll just have to pick up your motion at the next meeting.
Okay.
Having heard that, I believe we are now have reached the time to adjourn. So appreciate everybody calling in tonight. Is there any other business that we need to refer to that I'm forgetting?
Mansoor would like to speak.
On business we haven't done?
No, just general.
Are we adjourned?
I think we're adjourned unless there's something we specifically have to do.
No, I just want to thank Tom Livingston and Anita to be in on the call with us, and thank you for being on board with us.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you, yeah.
Yeah, thanks everybody for calling in. Appreciate everybody's time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.